several of you have been there. I think two of you got Jordan been there, and several people have went, and you know, several of you were on the group with me that just went. But you know, and as I've mentioned before, you know, Liz and I, we thought this would be a great opportunity for us and our daughters to see the mission field, see Costa Rica, the country, and really just kind of, frankly, just go on a trip, on vacation. And it was all the same. It was a great opportunity, and some of us, we shared some things already during our Sunday testimonies a few weeks back, and you know, we talked with you and you individually and about the trip and the country and so on. But however, you know, since I've been back, I've actually, you know, been letting some things kind of sink in. And you do have a lot of times you go on trips and, you know, you're so busy doing things and you're there, and we're definitely, you know, busy seeing a lot of things and taking it all in and, you know, doing different events and looking at volcanoes and driving. And you know, you're just busy. So, you know, when you get back, you actually have some time to kind of sit and reflect on the whole experience and kind of think about it. Things come up and just go through your mind. And so, when Pastor asked me to fill in tonight, a few weeks ago, and he suggested I discuss the trip and, you know, and maybe some things that were really concrete in my mind or some things from the trip and kind of expand, I guess, on the testimony a little bit. I already been thinking about some things. So I'm like, all right, I can do that. I've already been thinking, I'm like, this is good, I can handle that. Halfway there already, so to speak. So tonight, I'd like to share my confirmations from Costa Rica, what I call it, my confirmations from Costa Rica. There are three things that have been on my mind since the trip. And they're both just challenging and convicting things. Now, they're not necessarily, you know, any new ideas or thoughts. But I hope that it'll stir your heart and your thoughts as much as they have mine. So that's my goal tonight. So, here we go. First, I was impressed with the Todds' willingness to serve and their contentment with their calling. Their willingness to serve and their contentment with their calling. You know, the Todds, like most missionaries, are servants for the Lord. I mean, just servants for the Lord. You know, it doesn't take long to figure that out. I mean, the fact that they went to Costa Rica and they've been there for 30-plus years proves this. But, you know, but it goes far beyond that. That's kind of the obvious. You know, they open their homes, their home, to groups like us, like ours, several times a year, and you're like, well, that's not a big deal, you know, it's something they do. It's like, well, when you see the amount of work they put in and what they do, you know, I wonder how many times the Todds have been to the volcano, and I mean, it's constant. And preparing a home, and Missy, how she prepares, and you know, Lindsay mentioned that, and you know, something that really touched Lindsay's heart is how much work they put into it. So it's just one little thing. They do that several times a year, come to find out. I think they have, you know, 6-7 groups, maybe at least a year. They open their home. They give food to locals who wait at their gate. They teach Bible classes weekly, hours away, just simply because they were asked to. And they're happy to do it, blessed. Yeah. And the woman who witnessed that, waiting at the gate. You know, when we came back from one of our adventures and we were pulling in their driveway, and there's a woman just standing there at the gate. I didn't think much of it, you know, but next thing I know, Edie's going inside and she has a bag prepared and she walks it out. She's the lady, just have a great day. And I couldn't find out, this woman, she comes, weekly or a lot. First, you know, typical response. response that I would have would be like, hey, get out of here. What are you doing? Maybe just leave us alone, but that's not a servant's heart or attitude. So Edie happily does that. She said she has had some convictions and prayer about that, but she says, you know, we're here to serve. You know, they helped their son Brian, who was also down there, a missionary, just right down the street from the Todds. But he is starting a church right there in San Marcos. That's his ministry. It's completely his thing. The Ron and Edie is kind of, they're letting Brian, that's his thing. He's there as a missionary, just like they are. But he has asked them to help. He's more, and they serve Brian any way they can. And that's their attitude, to help him and his new young church, and they teach Sunday school classes when they're there, and they do all kinds of things. If they're not 3 hours away, meeting with other people on the coast, and just meeting with a couple people doing a Bible study. And you need to see it over and over, this type of heart. It's a true and honest servant's heart. A term we have all likely heard before. We've probably heard that, have a servant's heart and be a servant and all this kind of thing, but maybe we've never lived that or actually lived. So that was something that I was very impressed with. Got out of that. If you look in our Bibles here, we're looking at a few verses tonight, just to kind of get some of these points. Go to the book of Romans. Very first verse in the book of Romans. Now, we actually just started a study on Romans in our team group. So we've been looking at this, and as I was preparing this tonight, it just came to my mind, and something I've been thinking about a lot also as you're studying Romans. But Romans 1:1, the very first verse, and here's what it says. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, a few teams that are in here are going to probably know it. I just talked about this the last couple weeks. We've been talking about Paul and the introduction to Romans. Such a neat book. But this word servant, as we look here, we have to get something in our minds about what a servant is, or a bond slave, the definition of this word here. If we look back, and Lindsay and I were watching something on Romans 2, and this came up, something we were watching a few weeks ago, and we thought of this way. But this word here, the servant, kind of refers back to the Old Testament. And if you look in Exodus chapter 21, it's talking about a Hebrew servant. And it's interesting because the Hebrew servants, they would serve 6 years as a servant, and the seventh year, they'd be free. That's how it was. But there was some servants who chose to stay with their master. And it went into, they would take the awl and put it through their ear and pierce the ear, and they would basically show that that's what they, they were a servant, a free servant that chose to stay with their master, and a symbol of that. But anyway, if you look at the word here, and it refers back to that Old Testament type of servant. And if you think about that, they voluntarily chose to stay with their master, who's Hebrew servants. So look at this word here, with Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, and look at ourselves as a servant. It's something we choose to do. It's a voluntary thing. We could go on and add and look at that a little bit more, but Paul chose to serve, but was then called or sent to be an apostle, which he did to the fullest. Amen. So it's something we choose to do, to be a servant. And we witness this in that week. So the challenging conviction that I've had, as I look back at this, is do I possess a true and honest servant's heart and mentality? We don't have to go to a foreign country to do this. It's something we can choose to do we are, whatever circumstances we face. You know, it doesn't even matter where we're from or our background. Or, you know, even if you're a trucker's son from Indiana, if you go, if you know Ron Todd, you're going to hear that. I heard that several times that week. I'm just a trucker's son from Indiana. And God's put me here in Costa Rica, and this is what I'm called to do. Doesn't matter. And I think that's a big part of their ministry, too, a kind of side note. They want us people to come down and see us. It's like, you know, we're just here. We're ordinary people, just like you. And we're called to do this, and we're here doing what the Lord wants to do. Servants. Chosen to be servants. And God can use us. If we possess a true and honest servant's heart, then I believe we are more willing and content to do what God calls us to do. Second thing. Another thing I've been thinking about a lot, which is another thing we witnessed from the Todds, is our daily testimony of faith and the lifestyle we live. Our daily testimony of faith and the lifestyle we live. You know, this covers more than our testimony of salvation and our Sunday lifestyle. This includes our daily life, actions, and how we are viewed by others. It's easy to be a Christian on Wednesday nights and sit here, sit in church on Sunday mornings and put on the show, so to speak, sometimes. And I've done that parts of my life. But your daily testimony of faith and lifestyle. Now, for the Todds and others in the missions field, you know, they literally stick out, right? Now, it's pretty obvious who the gringos are when you're from Indiana or the Pinellas Bluffs and you're walking around Costa Rica. You're going to stick out a little bit. But the Todds, they're constantly kind of on the spot, when you think about it. They're constantly under surveillance. You know, when they first showed up to San Marcos, the smaller community is kind of away from San Jose, a couple hours, so when you're kind of out there, it's... And you think about that. Who are these people coming in here and they're moving in? And, you know, so they're kind of always, people got their eye on them, you know, you can imagine. Especially when they first got there, and they've been there quite a few years now. But they are very cognizant of this and live their lives, glorifying Jesus, and are very careful with what they do to not offend the native Costa Rica. Would affect their ministry. And when we were there, you know, Ron would always be like, you know, hold on, wait for him, you know, be very careful. He'd tell you things, little things here and there about what to do. And, you know, if we go to church on Sunday and pastor's not wearing a tie, you're wearing one, you take your tie off, you know, just little things like that. He's very careful not to offend them and put them off in any way. Very careful, very serious about that. With the groups that are there, and you can just see that. You're very, very aware of that. And it's because, and something he also says, because everything they do is their ministry. And you mentioned that a couple times. Everything we do is ministry. I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? And it's just being friendly. Respectful, responsible. You know, they keep their house. Ron keeps the house up really nice, and the lawn and all that. And then he even mentioned something about that. You know, it's just about, you want all these native Costa Ricans to view them as just good people. You know, friendly, responsible, and Christ-like. Right? So everything we do is ministry. Down to mowing the grass. You name it. And that's how they look at it. Showing others a life honoring the Savior in whatever they do every day. That's something I think about. look at a couple verses here, and there's a lot. So we go to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read the first few verses here. Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, as prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We look at Romans chapter 12, we'll go back there. Go back to the book of Romans. And really, the whole chapter 12 is about living for Christ, a Christian life. I love the first few verses here. We'll read, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we can go on, and like I said, the whole rest of that chapter and other verses throughout the Bible. The point is, we live our life honoring the Savior. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday night, not just around Christians, every day, everything we do. The Todds display love and kindness in their everyday life. They work hard to build relationships and friendships with people who see what a true Christian lifestyle is all about and eventually come to want what they have. Do I live this lifestyle every day? Question I've been asking myself. You know, I may not stick out because of my skin color is different, or I'm in another country. But we should stick out or be known because of our faith in Christian lifestyle. Now, is my attitude like Ron's, where I believe everything I do is ministry? Or only certain parts of my life on certain days? I know another thing, you know, we're going to slip up too sometimes. We're going to have bad days. And we'll likely want to quit or give up at some point. And Ron, I'll never forget this. It was one of the neatest afternoons. We were on this drive, just a few of us guys with him. And we go on this drive up this mountain, and he stops. He kind of pulls off a little area, you pull off to the side, and it was kind of foggy, but you could tell it was a really big drop-off. Big valley, and just what most of Costa Rica is about. You know, it's mountainous, it's beautiful. And he stopped. He kind of turned around, and turned the van off, and we're all preparing ourselves for another story. He tells a lot of stories. He just had kind of a heart-to-heart with this. You know, he's like, I come here sometimes when I feel like giving up. And said, I came here one time and just said, man, I just can't do it anymore. He said, I sat here for hours. He said, I just read the whole book of Isaiah and just prayed. You know, even Ron Todd wants to give up sometimes. I mean, it's part of it. We're going to have those days. That's another thing, and this is a whole other point that I could go off on, but one thing I love about Ron, I guess, is just his sincerity and his honesty. There's no phony there in any regard. I mean, it's none. It is what it is, and I appreciate that. And I think I learned a lot about that, and I try to be that way too, just be a straight shooter, don't put on front, just be real. And he is exactly that. And that's, you know, he's just being honest with us one day. He said, you know, it's time when I want to just go home and get a normal job. And be like my brother, he's a firefighter. Another brother is like a painter. But, you know, I'll leave, go home, I can make more money, and just do that. And anybody comes back and says, you know, no, God called me here. I have the greatest job in the world, and I'm going to win the first reason for the Lord. I'm not going to go on about that. But trusting the one who saved us and called us to share the gospel is worth it. We live for Christ. We need to keep going and live a life honoring Christ. Lastly here, my third thing is probably the one thing that's been on my mind the most. Back is the confirmation that there are a lot of religious people without a real relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. A lot of religious people without a real relationship with Christ. Now, I'm going to throw out numbers at here, so hang on, okay? 98% of Costa Ricans are Catholic, or we'll say religious. 98%. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was something like, you know, half of those maybe were practicing Catholics, and then even another half of those were actually ones that went faithfully, and, you know, numbers. But 98% claim to be Catholic. Quite a little Googling, you know, with the fun stuff. Costa Rica's population is 4,775,234. So, 90% of that is 4,679,729 people, religious people. That's a lot of people. So now I'm trying to single out Catholics here. You know, this goes for any religion, anywhere. But as an example, you know, we did visit a couple Catholic churches while we were there. And one of those being the Basilica, which big fancy building, and it actually pulled up a picture of it when I was Googling some of this information, a picture of it pulled up. So that's kind of what Costa Rica is known for, as you can say. They are a religious country. You know, so we go into these buildings, and there's beautiful buildings, and you kind of look at that at first, wow. And you see the buildings, and the number of people during the day, mind you, it was Thursday afternoon, I think, or normal weekday, places were packed with people all over. You know, walking on their knees, you know, we've heard people say that about these trips. You go and you see that, and you do, you'll see it. You go there. It's just a normal thing, normal afternoon. People walk in and instantly just drop to their knees at the back of the church and make their way down the aisle. Mm-hmm. Now, actually, I just grabbed some pictures this morning before I left the house of this, because I just thought, you know, that'd be kind of neat. I wish I was a little more technical savvy, I would have had it. Show up there or whatever. You can see the people, there's probably 20 of them here in this picture, on their knees at the back of the church. You can see these, I'll have them later if you want to look at them. But some different pictures of the glass and the statues and more people on their knees and a statue, I guess you call it, of Jesus and a coffin, or a coffin, a picture of that. All this stuff. Religious stuff. It's beautiful. But, you know, these people doing these acts and, you know, doing the knee thing at the altar, praying the statues. You guys get the point. But sadly, I have to wonder, are these people people missing the boat? You know, this many people, 4.6 plus million people, in one little Central American country. I don't know what the population of the U.S. is, but 300 plus million. We could do the statistics there. I mean, America would be a religious country as well, I'd say, and you could say, who knows the percentages? A lot of people. Again, one country and a big work. Are you missing the boat? So, take it to John here. John chapter 3. So, I thought of a character in the Bible here. We read the story, we've read it before, you know it, I'm sure. But keep thinking about that as we read about Nicodemus here. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel? And knowest not these things. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak as we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And verse 16, For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love reading those verses. But I was thinking about this, and it's really been on my heart and mind, is this, I think about Nicodemus here. And we studied Nicodemus a while back in our class, and I named him the righteous ruler. And you look at this guy, and I don't know if you get a more religious guy.
Right.
We were back in this day, we look at Nicodemus, we would see a ruler of the Jews, as it said, a Pharisee. He would look the part, play the part. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the Supreme Council, with the high priest, all that. I mean, he was the elite. He was the religious guy. It's interesting. He was a teacher. You saw there. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Jesus said. Master and teacher. Very religious man who didn't know the truth. This man didn't know the truth. Now this one hits home for me on a personal level. Lindsay and I both know a lot of people who fall into this category. A lot of people. And a lot of our family they claim to be religious. They don't think they are missing anything. And it doesn't matter where we're at or what church or you know what we've done. We're in our situation, a lot of people who would call themselves religious, you know, because they live a good life. They've been through certain steps in certain churches, they've been baptized, they've, you name it, all these things. But they don't have a personal relationship with Christ. Which at the end of the day, is all that really matters. And I'm thinking about that a lot. And we walked through Costa Rica in a religious country, 98%. And I'm making some assumptions here, but I'm guessing that a lot of those people, from what I could witness, were doing all these things thinking that's what they needed to be doing, when really all they need to do is put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And not necessarily walk down an aisle on their knees. So let's talk about that. A lot of religious people who are missing the boat. And so I look back on this trip, and we got a lot more out of it, I think, than just bringing back a lot of good coffee and some souvenirs. As I reflected back now, as I've been back for a while, and just looking back and thinking about Todd's life and what they do, and trying to bring it home, and that's the whole thing. And I think that's the big thing about and why Pastor really is encouraging this and wants to talk about it and ask me to talk about it and bring it up and another trip going, another group going, is to see that these missionaries they're people just like you and me. They're doing what we need to be doing. They're just a different place. And, we all should have the same goal, no matter what country we're in, what language we speak. It really all boils down to choosing to serve and being willing and content with what God calls us to do, wherever that's at, wherever it is. And living a life honoring Christ and believing in the one who died for you and me. Nothing new. But it was confirmed in that trip in my heart. And I hope I could share some of that tonight and just challenge a little bit. Get us thinking about it. Some of you are going here in a few months and I'm interested to see what you got out of it. I think it's any experience. But at the end of the day, that's what I've realized. I think while we're on the trip, but it's something, we hear it all the time too, but we're missionaries right here. And that's something that's really been just convicting for me, and it's how I live my life every day. And we're doing it for the right reasons and doing the right thing. Bow our heads for word prayer and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you again tonight, and we thank you for all that you've done, Lord. We just thank you for this evening, and just continue to pray for the pastor and the group that's gone, Lord, for their safety, bring them back to us safely. Lord, just thank you for this church, and continue to bless here, and just be with us as we go home tonight, Lord, and the rest of this week. And we thank you for it. We just pray. Amen.